You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to stetsonbaptistchurch.org.
The grain, man. I had a great couple, 4 weeks walking through with you guys. If you remember, we were walking through a series called Reset, what it looks like to reset our lives on Jesus. And now we want to transition into a different series called Against the Grain. But that's a great, I got leaders doing this. So, hey, if you would like to take notes tonight, go ahead and raise your hand and we're going to bring those to you right now. So if you'd like to take notes, go ahead and slip your hand up. And we were talking about movies earlier, which is funny because I kind of want to introduce our series through a movie. There's an older movie called 12 Angry Men. It's so old, it was in black and white. So if that tells you like how old it is, some of you guys saw it for the first time in this room, my adult leaders, but I'm just kidding. So 12 Angry Men and the whole deal of 12 Angry Men, it was about this courtroom debacle where there was this crime that was committed and they thought they had the guy and you don't even ever see the trial in the movie. But what you do is you're immediately thrown into the room with the jury as they're trying to decide, is this guy guilty of what the crime is? And the crime at the time was murder. And so they're coming together and the thing that you're thrown into the midst of is at the very beginning of the movie, it's almost like everybody walks in that room going, oh, he did it. Like, this is definitely the person who committed the murder. And so they're like, well, let's just go ahead. We have to take a vote anyway. So let's just go ahead and start our time with the vote and let's all get out of here. We all got things to do. We can make this quick and easy. He definitely did it, right? And so they take an anonymous vote. And as they are kind of taking the vote and they collect all the papers and a guy's reading them out. And so they're on the whiteboard and they're like, all right, one person said guilty. All right, now two people have said guilty. There's 12 people in the room. Three people guilty. Four people guilty. Five people guilty. Six people guilty. Seven people guilty. Eight people guilty. Nine people guilty. 10 people guilty. 11 people guilty. 12 people, one person said not guilty. One person decided to say, I don't know if he did it. The rest of the room is decided. They're all clear about it. And so they start arguing like, who said it? Who said not guilty? Who is making our night go even longer than it needs to? We all know he did it, right? And one guy stands up and he goes, hey, I was the one who wrote not guilty. And the reason being, not saying I don't think he did it, but I don't think we should just walk out of this room without at least talking about it. So let's open it up to discussion. I don't mean to spoil the whole movie for you, but if you haven't seen it now, it's been out for like 50 years. So that's on you, right? As the movie progresses, you start to see it unfold where more and more people start to come to the realization, maybe he didn't do it. Maybe this didn't play out the way that we thought it did. To the point, the movie ends where they all get to the other side and the ending vote is not guilty. They walked in the room thinking everybody was going to go one way. One person decided to go against the grain. And they all ended up switching to that side, realizing that it was the correct decision after all. That's a lot of what it looks like for you. That's a lot of what it looks like for me and for us in our spheres of influence and how we live our lives and in the places that we go, whether it's school, whether it's home, whether it's a sports team, whether it's a band, whatever it is, we are called to go against the grain for something greater, for the gospel. Now, I want to start our series off by helping us understand what does it mean to go against the grain. Against the grain, man, it sounds really fun. It's very trendy. It's a nice little statement. We all want to put it in our Instagram bios, going against the grain, right? Like it sounds like this big pep talk. But what does it mean? What does it mean to go against the grain? Well, I'll tell you, it means exactly what this person did in that courtroom. It means to use your influence. It means to use your influence for something greater than yourself. Now, something that kind of happens when we say something like that is some people in this room are like, man, that sounds great. Yeah, let's do that. Other people in the room are maybe Like, I don't know, you know, that's going to need some convincing. But I think sometimes all of us fall into this camp of, what influence are you talking about, Nate? I don't think I have that much. I don't know if you're talking to me, but like, my influence isn't like yours because you get to stand on a stage. Or my influence isn't like my parents because they go and do actual work and I just kind of go to school. Or what is my influence? All I do is go to class and then I get done with class and then I go to my home. That's my, what influence are you talking about? Let me tell you right now, I want us to start here. Hear me say this. You all have influence. We all have influence. Point blank. Period. You have influence, even if you don't feel like you do. Even if you don't know how much influence you have, I promise you influence people. People are always watching us, how we do things, what we're doing, the attitude of which we're doing them. In a statement, I thought about it this way. It's not about if we are influencing, but how we are influencing. When we switch our mindset of, do I have an influence, to, I know I have an influence, well, we instantly have to treat it as, well, if we know we're influencing, the question is now, how am I influencing others? How am I influencing those in my life? How am I influencing those in my classroom? How am I influencing my brother or my sister? How am I influencing even my parents? How are we influencing each other? When we talk about going against the grain, here it is. Going against the grain is influencing others to Jesus. So there you go. This that statement that we're talking about, like, that's very maybe unclear. Here it is in all clarity. Going against the grain is influencing others to Jesus. I want us to start in 1 Timothy when we talk about influencing others, because Timothy has a lot in common with us. So if you don't know, if you can go ahead and start flipping there in your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Timothy 4. As you do that, I promise I'll explain just a little bit about Timothy. So if you don't know Timothy was actually somebody around your age when Paul, who was a church missionary who was really galvanizing the gospel all across that area after Jesus kind of interrupted his life and reset him. And Timothy was about your age, and he meets Paul, and Paul looks at him, and he actually sees the faith of his mother and his grandmother, and says, you can be somebody great for the influence of the gospel. So he meets Timothy, and he starts to train Timothy and raise him up to be a great influence for the gospel. And then he looks at him, and he commissions him. He sends him out. He says, Timothy, I've done all I can for you. Now it's time for you to go do things for other people. And so he actually sends him to a church it was a church that Paul helped build. But then Paul had kind of heard that the people he had put in power over that church when he left were not influencing the church in the right way. They started to fall into some different beliefs that were not about Jesus. They started to fall into some beliefs that were pulling them away from the heart of what the gospel preaches and the freedom that the gospel was meant for. And so he says, Timothy, I'm going to send you to help influence this church back in the right direction. And so this letter to Timothy it's while Timothy had already landed there, and it was basically Paul kind of helping him see the things that he needed to train the church to do. The things that he needed to tell the church to stop doing, the things that he needed to tell the church to start doing. And then he enters this little section about Timothy in the midst of it. In the middle of the chapter, he's telling him about what he needs to do, but then he kind of turns to Timothy and starts talking directly to him and encouraging him in who he is and the influence he has. And so we're picking up in verse 12 of chapter 4, and it starts by saying this. Paul says, Timothy, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. So he turns to Timothy and says, hey, Timothy, I just want you to know, I don't want you to think just because you're young, people can just walk all over you. Hey, Timothy, just because you might not be older than the people that are kind of running the church right now doesn't mean you don't have a lot to bring to the table. Instead, actually, you have a lot that you can teach them. You can show them what it looks like to have a good faith. You can show them what it looks like to talk in a way that honors God. You can show them what it looks like to act in a way that honors God, to love in a way that honors God. And then even in how your innocence and blamelessness shows the heart of Jesus. And what I love is in this moment where he's talking to Timothy, and he's talking to him about, you know, don't let others despise your youth. I think he's also inserting this, and don't let yourself despise your youth. Because I'm sure Timothy, just like all of us at some point in our lives and in our youth, have looked and said, well, everybody tells me wisdom brings age, and I'm just not there yet. And so I don't know if I can speak into it. Nate, I don't know if my influence is as big as you want it to be, because I'm in sixth grade, or I'm in seventh grade. Or, hey, you know, I'm even in 12th grade, but I know I'm about to go into a bigger pond with college. So I just don't know if the influence that you're talking about is there for me. Timothy's singing the same thing. Paul, I don't think I was the one you meant to send. Hey, they're looking at me, and maybe they're right. Maybe I am too young to be kind of coming in here and telling them what they're doing is wrong. Maybe we need to rethink. Maybe we need to send somebody else. And Paul said, no. Timothy, don't let them despise your youth, and you don't despise your youth either, because you have more influence than you know. So use it well. You have more influence than you know, so use it well. And as he's saying this to Timothy, he's saying it to us as well. We have more influence than we know, so it is our job to use it well. He continues, picking up in verse 13. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which has been given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. You can almost see Timothy looking at Paul saying, all right, but how? I get it. All right, I have influence. Don't let others despise me because of my youth, and don't let myself despise me because of my youth. I have influence. I need to use it well. But how? How do I do that? How do I know how to do that? If I have influence, how do I know I'm using it in the right direction? Basically, how do I know I'm not going to be just like them? How do I know I'm not going to pull people in a way that doesn't lead them to Jesus? And Paul, kind of understanding that question is an honest one and is going to come, he basically looks at it and he says, do things that connect you to Jesus. Hey, you want to lead people to influence them to Jesus? Connect yourself to Jesus. Look what he says. He says, be reading the word. Be in the midst of people talking about God's word. He then tells them, hey, remember your calling. Like, remember that people literally came to you and said, this is what you're supposed to do with your life. You're supposed to go and preach the word to other people. And then he even talks about being with other believers. Like, be around other believers so that they can help you see what is the right way to influence others. He didn't say this, but you can almost insert it. Prayer, right? Like, hey, how do I know that I'm influencing others to Jesus? I'm talking to Jesus. I'm actually communicating with him. And I love it. He uses all these things to say, like, be in connection with Jesus. And then he uses the word immerse. He uses the word immerse. I think it's such an awesome word. Like, do it so much that your whole body is surrounded by Jesus. I think about it like rain versus a swimming pool. Like, it was raining outside. Who in here, was anybody in the rain today? Some of you, okay. Did you walk in the rain? Okay, y'all are weird, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. No. I don't know about you. Like, when it's raining, I don't want to get wet. I'm not in a swimsuit. I'm in clothes that I want to be dry in. So I'm running. I'm getting out of the water. But when I get in the swimming pool, man, I'm immersing myself in the same thing that I was running from, right? Right here, Paul is literally saying, be so connected to Jesus that you are immersed. Every part of you is touched by him. Every part of you is being sunk in by him. He's around you. He's in you. He's all what you're about is Jesus. How do I influence other people to Jesus? You be with Jesus. You be influenced by Jesus. You're doing things that are reminding you of what he has called you to do. You're doing things that are connecting you to him. I love how Paul finishes this by he looks at him, he goes, and keep doing this. Hey, I'm telling you, like, don't let people look down on you. You have more influence than you know. Train yourself in that influence by being connected to Jesus, and then keep doing it. Because by doing it, you will save other people. If you continue to use your influence for Jesus by being connected to Jesus, other people will see your influence and be influenced by you. Use your influence for something greater than yourself. In other words, Paul is looking at them, or I'm sorry, at him. And I'm looking at you saying, go against the grain, because by doing so, you'll influence people to Jesus and the better life that he has to offer. Go against the grain, because by doing so, you're going to introduce people to Jesus, but you're also going to introduce him to the better life that he offers, because going against the grain is introducing others to a better life. The best life you can live is a life that is devoted to Jesus. I mean that. The best life you can live is a life where you are fully devoted to Jesus. Do you know how? This is what's awesome. The Bible doesn't just tell us it's true. It shows us how it's true. And the Bible, let me tell you, the Bible tells us that a life that is gifted to those who devote themselves to Jesus is one that is defined by love, one defined by joy, one defined by peace, by patience, by kindness, by goodness, by faithfulness, and by self-control. Now, think about that list. Which one of those don't you want? You don't want love? Okay. You don't want joy? You don't want peace? You don't want to be a patient person? You don't want to be a person that's defined and known as kind, as good, as faithful, as one that is self-controlled? That's the life that a life devoted to Jesus, influenced by Jesus, is all about. Because that's what is promised to those who follow Jesus, is a spirit that pursues and lives that out, regardless of what our external life looks like. That's so crazy, man. We can be going through the craziest of things, the hardest of times, but we can still look back and say, yeah, but Jesus promises me joy, because the life that he has for me in the next life is so much better. The life he has for you is the best life. Now, let me tell you, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not saying it's the easiest life. It's not. To say yes to Jesus means we have to say no to a lot of things. That's just the truth. And I'm not here to kind of entice you to Jesus, man. I'm going to give you the full thing, which is, man, the life devoted with Jesus is the best life does not mean it is necessarily the easiest life to live. But I kind of think about it this way. So who in here is a sports fan? Yeah. Okay. Cool. Most. What about this? Who here likes musical artists? There we go. Okay. So I think we can get most of the room in that, right? So if you're a sports fan, you know that there is kind of championship games, right? For the NBA, it's called the NBA Finals. For the football, it's called the what? Super Bowl, right? What about for the MLB? It's called World Series, right? World Series. So the life that Jesus offers is like this. If I came to you and I said, hey, I have the NBA Finals ticket, or the Super Bowl ticket, or the World Series Game 7 ticket, whatever, insert the game that you want to go to, right? And it's yours. All you have to do is take it. And then you look at me and you go, oh, yeah, right? Oh, wait, that's the same day as my, you know, my sister's Little League game. I'd want to go to that, but like, I'd have to give up going to the Little League game. I'd have to give up going to this. And I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I want to do that. Or how about this? How about this? Hey, I have, you know, a Taylor Swift ticket for you. I have insert your favorite artist front row tickets right here. Come on. And I want you to have it. And you're going, that's like, ready? And you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, wait. That means I couldn't listen to that artist on my phone for the time that I'm in the arena. And I don't know if I want to give that up. Like, I really want to listen to them on my phone with my AirPods on. I don't want to be in the arena. As we start to think about it, right? It's funny. It's ridiculous. Hear me say that. That's what we are saying when we say, I don't want to follow Jesus because I have to give up X, Y, or Z. I don't want the Super Bowl. I want the Little League. Because I think the Little League is going to please me more than the Super Bowl. And Jesus is looking at us going, it's not how it works. I promise the life I have to offer you is better. If you follow me, it's better. You give up things, but you give up Little League. You give up Little League for Super Bowl. You give up listening to somebody on your headphones for an hour for being a front row ticket at the concert. That's the life Jesus has to offer us. That's what we are introducing and influencing other people to. It's the better life. It's the best life. Hear me say it. What you will have to give up to follow Jesus is a very, very, very cheap price for the eternity and relationship that you get with the God who created you and loves you. It's a cheap price. It's worth the price. We are called to go against the grain, to influence others to Jesus and the better life he offers. Of course, as we come to our time of closing, in order to do that exact thing, we have to have been influenced ourselves. We can't go and tell others and go against the grain if we aren't going against the grain, right? And so I want to help us out to see, am I going against the grain? Or to do so, we have these little cards that we're going to pass out. So be on the lookout. Some adult leaders are going to be passing out these cards for you. I have three application questions that I want us to be able to answer honestly, authentically with ourselves of, am I going against the grain? And we're going to close a little bit different today, okay? I know usually, I'll close, we'll pray, we'll sing, and then I'll come up and kind of give just one or two quick announcements and say goodbye, right? Man, I want us to end a little differently. I want us to end with a time of prayer. Not a long prayer, very quick prayer. So how we're going to do this is I'm going to ask the question. I want us to, for 30 seconds, all I'm asking for 30 seconds, for you to answer the question in your heart, not out loud, in your heart, and then pray over the answer that you gave. I'm going to give us a minute. All right, cool. Going to ask the question. All I'm asking is for you to answer it honestly in your own heart. You're not saying it out loud, just in your own heart. And for 30 seconds, just pray to God over your answer. First question. Would people know I follow Jesus if I didn't tell them? Would people know I follow Jesus if I did not tell them? You don't have to answer out loud. Would people know if I follow Jesus if I didn't tell them? Question 2. Are people surprised when they hear that I am a follower of Jesus? When people hear that I am a follower of Jesus, they go, oh, really? Didn't know that. Last question. Am I influencing myself to influence others to Jesus? Am I influencing myself to influence others to Jesus? Paul looked at Timothy. Said, Timothy, do you want to know how you're to influence people in the right way? Well, you're influencing yourself by being connected to God's word, by being connected to God's people, by being connected to God through prayer. Am I influencing myself to be influenced, to be influencing others to Jesus? I'd ask that you just answer that and pray. God, we know that you've called us to a different way of living. We know that you've called us to life that is devoted to you. But sometimes, if we're honest, man, it's hard. It's hard to understand in this culture that we live in what is right, what is wrong. And Father, what you would have to say about certain things. But Lord, we know where we can find the answer. We know that you've provided us all that we need to know and love you. Father, I pray that you would dedicate our hearts and our lives to being influenced by you. Father, that we would be in our word daily. Father, that we would be communicating with you constantly. Father, we would reevaluate the people that we're hanging out with and seeing, are they people that are going to lead me closer to you or further away? Lord, if we want to influence others to Jesus, we know we must first be influenced by you and to you. It's in Christ's name. Friends, as we close, I just want us to imagine, as we walk through these next, you know, 3-4 weeks of going against the grain, imagine what it would look like if everybody in this room stood against the grain of the culture surrounding us and influence people to Jesus. Think about it. How would your homes change? How would your schools change? How would your friends change? How would this room change? How would your own church change if we dedicated our lives to going against the grain of what the world tells us is true, of what our friends tells us is true, and influence others to Jesus, and influence ourselves to Jesus? Because truly, you never know. You going against the grain might just be what somebody is waiting for their entire eternity to change to Jesus. You have that influence. You have that impact. It's up to us to make that decision. Man, I'm so excited next week as we get to continue to walk through what does it look like for us to go against the grain.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.